In the Lord,
be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked man rules, the people groan. Proverbs 29:2. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Before we go to our scripture today, for the young people who are in here, I want to put this on the screen for you, the importance of Bible teaching. Number one, the study of God's Word is a source of knowledge of how to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. These are very, very important points, and these are words of introduction today, not only for our adults, but for the young people who are here before they go to their class. Bible teaching is important because, one, it is a source of knowledge of how to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to study God's Word because, number two, it leads to occupation and daily walk with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, study of the Word of God produces confidence during our lifetime. And all of us, of course, need confidence while we're here on this earth. Number four, the study of God's Word is important because it is a source of divine viewpoint. It makes it possible for us to see from God's vantage point. Number five, the study of God's Word is the basis for orientation to God's plan during our lifetime, the time while we're here on this earth. Number six, the study of God's Word produces sanity and stability of mind. I would imagine that all of you would like to be sane, wouldn't you? The study of God's Word produces sanity and stability of mind. The study of God's Word, number seven, gives truth of divine guidance. And number eight, avoids mental satanic corruption. These are very important points. I wanted you to see it for just a few moments before our class begins. We open our Bibles this morning, please, to James chapter 5, verse 9. James chapter 5, verse 9. I believe that you can see this verse on the screen, and if you cannot see it from where you're sitting, this verse is on the back of today's bulletin. So if you'll go to the back of the bulletin today, you will find James chapter 5, verse 9. All of us are aware of the fact that when we come together, we come for the specific purpose of studying God's wonderful Word. We cannot study God's Word properly if we are not cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. We are told in the Scripture to be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. In the original language of that verse, Ephesians 5, we discover that it is a command. And that means that we're commanded to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. God has given us not only the means by which we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but when we are, God gives us a system of comprehending truth, which we call the grace system of comprehension, which just simply means that if we're in harmony with the Lord, our minds are open to His Word, we turn to God's Word, the Spirit of God takes His Word and proves to be a tremendous blessing to our hearts. In the light of all I've just said, May we spend a few moments in prayer, please. Father, we're thankful that we can admit our faults and failures and sins and realize that we can be cleansed and forgiven and in fellowship with our wonderful Savior. We pray that these moments for all of us now will be profitable moments, that we might be able to receive that which You have for us, and that we might utilize Your Word effectively. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to the book of James, let's look at James chapter 5. We'll begin our reading with verse 7. I hope you have your Bible there, and you'll look, please, at James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until he gets the early and late rains. James chapter 5, now verse 8. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Verse 9. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Verse 10, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Verse 11, behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Please look, if you will, at the verse that's on the screen before you and on the back of today's bulletin. I want to begin today by just spending a few moments with the exegetical study. If you'll notice, it says, murmur not, brothers, one against another, lest you be judged. And then it says, behold, the judge stands before the door. We have some very interesting words in our verse of Scripture today. I'm going to take one word in the first session, and then I'm going to take two words in the second session. The first word is the word murmur. If you'll look at that word, if you cannot, like I say, see it from where you're sitting, please look on the back of your bulletin and take a good look at this word. We want to add a word to your vocabulary today. You may not want to go away talking about this word. That's okay with me. But by the time we leave the service this morning, I want you to be very familiar with the meaning of this particular word. If you'll notice, it says, murmur not. That's one of the ways that it can be translated. Another way that it can be translated is groan. Groan not. Another word is the word sigh. S-I-G-H. Sigh not. Another way is grudge. Grudge not. Another way that's stretching it some, but could be translated anger. Do not be angry. It actually means internal and unexpressed. It's what I call nonverbal communication. Now, what I'm able to say here today is that we've done this and you've done it, and sometimes perhaps I could even see it from where I'm standing. And that is, certain things are said, and you don't give out any verbal expression, but you give a sigh. And I don't know exactly how to take that, because it may be that you're disgusted with what I've just said. Or you may be saying, boy, that hit me, and I didn't intend to get hit that hard today. You give out a sigh. So the word sigh is used in different ways. The word is used uniquely here. Now, what we have to understand is that the book of James is written to some people who are suffering some persecution. And they are being told to have patience. And so I've reminded myself to tell you to be patient. When you hear things that may not fit all that well with you, be patient. The one application of patience is that we are not to grumble against each other. This is a verb in the imperative mood. Did you notice that? Let's look at it for a few moments. It's the present active imperative, second person plural of stenazo. Now, that's the word you want to add to your vocabulary today. Not that you want to keep it there very long, it's okay. But just during this session, keep that word in mind, stenazo. Stenazo. It can be translated grief. It can be translated groan. It can be translated sigh. It can be translated grudge. It can be translated anger. It's an internal expression, which is a non-verbal expression. It's not something that is presented in words. Now, what I've discovered is that as I've studied this particular word, sometimes the word is used for something good, and sometimes it is used for something bad. Now, let's stay with it for a few moments and take a look at it. If it's something that's good, we discover that you can give a sigh that is not necessarily painful or hurtful. I've been to many funerals in my lifetime, and there have been times when at a funeral, I've heard people give a non-verbal communication. You know what it is? It's a groan. It's something that comes from deep within, and I hear it. And it's not anything in words, but I feel and I sense that there's a tremendous hurt. There's a tremendous pain. They are hurting inside as a result of the loss of a loved one, and they groan. Now, that's amazing. You perhaps have been to a service where you've witnessed that same thing. That's not particularly bad at all. Actually, it is an expression of love and concern and compassion for a loved one who's gone on. And so there's a groan, there's a sigh. It's a non-verbal communication of love. On the other hand, that word can be used in a negative way, such as grumbling or complaining. Grumbling against each other, it says here. I believe that trials are being faced today by many suffering Christians. These suffering Christians would have put their patience to test and given plenty of opportunity, even sometimes to feel sorry for themselves, be bickering, and perhaps even want to be critical. The same thing happens in churches today. There are Christians who are facing trials and difficulties, difficult marriages, frustrated dreams, demotions at work, high blood pressure, allergies, credit card bills, insecurity. Am I naming any? Oh, I'm hearing the sighs. We certainly have to be careful not to be complaining. I read this interesting story. I don't even know whether I should give it or not, but I'm going to. On reaching the plane seat, a man is surprised to see that there's a parrot strapped in the seat next to him. He asked the stewardess for a cup of coffee, but about the time he asked for the cup of coffee, the parrot squeaks out, "Give me some whiskey, please." And so it frustrated the stewardess, and she went and got whatever the parrot asked. Well, she didn't bring the coffee. And that sort of oppressed and frustrated the guy. In a little bit, the parrot cried out again, "Get me some more whiskey." And the girl went out shaking and disturbed, and she came back with no coffee. Unaccustomed to what was going on, the man now thought that he needed to be like the parrot. And so he became very frustrated, and in the sense of complaining and anger, he said, "I want some coffee, and I want it now." Well, by the time all this happened, two burly guys came and grabbed the parrot, and they grabbed the guy, and they took him to the door, and they pushed him out. On the way down, the parrot said, as they plunged down, the parrot said to the man, "For someone who can't fly, you complain too much." I want to give you some translations. The New American Standard translates this verse, "Do not complain." The Basic English Bible says, "Say no hard things against one another." The Douay Rheims Bible says, "Grudge not, brethren, one against another." The Weymouth translation says, "Do not cry out in condemnation of one another." And the World English Bible says, "Don't grumble, brothers. Don't grumble against one another." I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that you and I have a responsibility in this life. And we've been saying this over the last days, that in these verses it tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. That simply means that we live in a magnificent time. We understand the timeline. We understand the age of the Gentiles. We understand the age of Israel. We understand that we're living in the church age, the time of intercalation. We understand that the rapture is going to take place. The Lord is going to come to receive His own unto Himself. How fantastic. And the Scripture reminds us over and over again to be ready, to look forward to that time when you and I will leave this life. And if the Lord Jesus Christ comes before this service is over, every born-again believer will move out of this auditorium. How fantastic that's going to be. I just can imagine. I can look around. Well, I won't be here. We'll all look. You won't be here. But anyway, just think about it. How fantastic it's going to be. Your clothes will drop there to the pew or drop to the floor. And you'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And you'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a difference between the rapture and the second advent. This scripture tells us in chapter 5, verse 8, the coming of the Lord is near. Don't be murmuring. Don't be complaining. Why waste your time on those things which are insignificant? Why waste your time on those things which are unimportant? A young lady had been invited out on a nice dinner date. She spent all afternoon getting ready. She picked out the right dress. She made sure her hair was all made up right. After all this was done, this was her first date, and she was quite excited. She knew that handsome man would soon be there. She wanted to make a good impression. The time came. The time went by. The date did not arrive. Assuming that she had been stood up by this guy, she took down her hair. She washed all her makeup off. She changed her dress and heels and got into her favorite pajamas. While she was sitting on the couch in her pajamas, the doorbell rang. And she thought, oh my. When she answered the door, on the other side was her date, who was shocked at her appearance. And the first thing out of his mouth was, "I gave you 2 extra hours to get ready, and you still are not ready to go." Now, you're going to laugh at that, but let me give you the next paragraph that I've written for you. Isn't this the attitude of many in the church today? It's been 2,000 years since He ascended into heaven, and many people in the church have let their hair down, changed into their pajamas, and are no longer expecting Him to come. They're complaining. They're feuding. They're fussing. They're sighing. And it's not necessarily a good sigh. It is a negative sigh. And then this is something I read that really disturbed me. It says that there was a test taken, a survey made, and 90%, they said, of the pastors at a particular conference were not even expecting the return of the Lord. What does that do for you? If the preachers are not expecting, then we're in bad shape, aren't we? Murmur not one against another. Have patience also with each other. The judge is standing before the door. He's hearing every word. He's marking every thought. How fantastic. I want you to know that when I got to this verse, so many things kept coming. When I looked, I saw how fantastic this word is and how it's used here. When he says, don't sigh, don't grudge, murmur not. I looked that over and over again and I thought, you know what? Our congregation needs this. It's something very important. It's something very personal. It's something that I need to ask you to draw an invisible circle around yourself today. And look not at the person who sits to the right or left of you, but look at that person within that circle. Stenazo. Nonverbal communication. Are we complaining? Are we ready for His coming? As I looked at this, I began to analyze, where is this word stenazo used in the Scripture? And I found it was used in different places. I was amazed to discover how many different places the word is used. Now, I don't want to take a lot of time today exegeting, dealing with all the verbal expressions here. I want to make this very personal. I want you to see something. I went over to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and I'm going to ask you now to turn to that passage. You have your Bible? Let's look at Romans chapter 8. I want you to remember that the word groan is the word that is used. It was the first word that I gave you when I talked about nonverbal communication. Groan, sigh. But let's look what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Please notice, you're not going to be what you ought to be, and I'm not going to be what I ought to be, unless we allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to speak to our hearts. Look at it, please. We know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 23. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Oh my, if you could really get into that passage with me and see what God is saying to us, we're going to try to get into it. Verse 24, for in hope we've been delivered, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. Verse 26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings. There's that word again. Too deep for words. And He searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. When I analyzed this, I sat at my desk, and I began to picture you, and I began to picture what I would like to say. And I began to type. Here's the condensed history of the world according to the Apostle Paul. I sat there and thought about it, and I thought about standing here and looking at you. It has four major acts in this play. The curtain opens. It's Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Light, day, night, vegetation, evening, morning, sea monsters, birds, man. And God saw that what He had made was good. I wrote then the word Eden. You might want to put curtain opens. We're looking up there. And one big word comes up. It's the word Eden. E-D-E-N. It all starts with a perfect creation, free from all suffering, free from death. As the curtain begins to close, we're amazed and we think how beautiful, how fantastic that is. How great all this is. God made man. And all of us know that when God created Adam and Eve, God gave them trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. They had fellowship with God. Oh, it was fantastic. It was wonderful. Can you imagine the Lord coming in the cool of the evening and communicating and they responding to what He had to say? The curtain closes. We sit there in awe, in silence. We wait for a few moments and then suddenly the curtain begins to open again, the second time. Oh, but it's different now. We see one word, fall. The fall. The fall. Adam had been given a beautiful companion. Adam and Eve disobeyed God at the instigation of a talking snake bringing suffering and death into the world. All of this is found in Genesis chapter 3. You ought to write that down. A beautiful relationship they had with God and a beautiful relationship they had with each other. They were told what not to do. They said, oh my, this is wonderful. Body, soul, and spirit. Do you realize how fantastic that is? Body, perfect. Spirit, communication with God. Soul, in the right relationship. They were told what not to do. They were told there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't participate there. If you participate there, dying, you shall die. Listen to this. If you partake of that tree, I command you not to. Dying, you shall die. Two major deaths. Dying spiritually. Eventually, you will die physically. They were told what not to do. Dying, you shall die. I typed in capital letters. And I put them in capital letters. It pays to listen to what God says. As the curtain closes, depicting the fall, at this point, we begin to groan. Nonverbal communication. Now, you've got to listen to this. I want you to see that not only was man affected by disobedience, but nature was affected by disobedience. I want you to see this. At this point, we groan. We sigh. It's an internal murmur. In the quietness of this moment, our thoughts cannot be put into words. The curtain is about to open again, but please stay with me for a few moments. What's happened here is disobedience, fall, depravity. There is an effect upon mankind. There's an effect upon human nature. There's an effect upon everything. Disobedience. Dying. You shall die. Two deaths. One is a spiritual death. One is a physical death. And do you know what's happening to you today? If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've had a second birth. You've been born into God's kingdom. What the world needs is to be born again. I'm telling you that we are in trouble if we're not proclaiming the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and that people need to be born again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. Oh, I want you to see depravity. I want you to see why you and I sin. You say, please, preacher, don't remind me of the fact that I sin. Could I be so brave as to tell you that some of you sinned before you got here to church this morning? Some of you perhaps sinned after you got into the church this morning. I'm not pointing out your sins other than just in general. I'm trying to tell you that we're sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When God works the miracle of regeneration, we're saved. Our soul is saved. But we still are subject to disobedience and sin. We have a problem with sin. We have a problem in several different areas. The pendulum swings. I'm not telling you today where the pendulum is in your life, but it could possibly be swinging over into the area of lasciviousness, where you're involved in sexual immorality in your mind, and maybe with your tongue, and maybe even with your body. Lasciviousness. The pendulum may swing to the other side, where you're guilty of asceticism, which simply means that you're in the process of thinking how good you are, how I don't do this and I don't do that, and I'm just a great, wonderful Christian. I keep the Ten Commandments. Or you do? Asceticism, lasciviousness. We all have the problem with sin. The curtain is about to open for the third time. It is now opening. What do we see? We see Christ, the remedy for the damage wrought by Adam and Eve. It's the redemptive purpose. It's the redemptive suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I got to this point, I sat there and I typed in capital letters, how fantastic, how wonderful, how great, as that curtain closes now for the third time. There's legitimate emotion. I've grown with enthusiasm. In fact, I want to say something out loud, but it's just internal. It's coming out, almost coming out. The curtain opens again. This time, it's the apocalypse. Christ is about to return as a judge of the world. And the family of grace will be completely free from suffering and death. I want you to see this. Did you notice when I read the scripture in Romans? The word groan, stephanos, is so great. Stephanos, stephanazo, S-T-E-V-A-N-A-Z-O. Let me read it. We know that the whole creation groans. There's the first time. The earth groans. You know what? The earth is groaning, waiting for the rapture. The earth is waiting for the rapture. But that's not all. We ourselves, as the first fruits, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Listen to it. Waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons. The redemption of the body. Did I tell you a few moments ago when the Lord says, dying you shall die, that there were two kinds of death there? Two kinds of deaths. Spiritual death, physical death. Some of you are saying, preacher, are you going to ever get off of that subject? No, I don't want to. Because it's real. And I want you to know that if a person hasn't been born into God's kingdom, if you haven't had the second birth, then you're in trouble. But here's something that's so beautiful. The Lord has not only made preparation that people might be born again, but He's made preparation for each one of you sitting in this auditorium today. You're living in a dying, deteriorating, decaying body. And I want you to know, I understand that. The older I get, the more I realize this. And I shouldn't tell you this. But on Friday morning, I went out to help my neighbor. I was going to push out one of these 55-gallon city impressed upon us recycling horrible trash cans. Amen. Brother, I want you to know I sighed. But not only did I sigh within, I sighed without. Let me tell you about it. I didn't plan to, but I will because you probably need to hear this. Here's this wonderful old gentleman being nice to his neighbor, pushing that big old container out. I was in a hurry anyway because I'd overslept a little bit. Joyce wasn't there. She had gone off, you know, to a retreat, and there I was retreating at home. But anyway, pushing this thing, I didn't know how to do it exactly. And I know now that you're not supposed to let that lid be down. And I opened it up, and I began to push it, and I got it about halfway out in the front yard. And that thing went out from under me, and I skidded into that thing. Man, I mean to tell you, my head was in the trash can. Now, don't laugh at me like that. I'm telling you, I was hurt. You know what was hurt? My pride. I was afraid someone was going to drive by and see the preacher with his head in the trash can. And man, I slid back. I was saying to myself, my. I was backing up out of the trash can. I think you folks kind of have a mental picture of that, don't you? And I backed out, and I tried to lift that thing up, and I got it back, and I put it out there, and I went home, and I called the city. And I told them that I wanted them. I said, this is probably not a good time for me to talk to you. Well, it really wasn't. But I said, I want you to come and pick up my recycling 55-gallon container. I will want to continue to use my little blue box. I sighed on the outside, but I also sighed on the outside. Groan, murmur, grudge, anger. What else did I see? Did you see this? It says, and this is so fantastic, it says that something's going to happen to the earth. The earth is going to groan. And then it says, we're going to be groaning. We're groaning, anticipating the time when we'll move out of this body. But let me show you one other thing quickly, very quickly. And that is, it says, there are going to be times in your life when you have heartaches and burdens and trials and tests and difficulties. And you're going to pray, and you're not even know how to pray. You just don't know what words to put in, you know, to use. And you know what it says here? It says when we get to a place like that, the Spirit helps our weakness. We know not how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings. There's that Greek word again. Too deep for words. Have you ever had time in your life when your heart was so heavy and the difficulties were so great and you wanted to pray, but you really didn't know how to? And you didn't know what to say. And you just kind of groaned a little bit. You just moaned, so to speak, in the Spirit. And I promise you, the Spirit of God says right here that He made intercession for us with groanings too deep for words. Too deep for words. If you haven't already had that experience, I promise you, there perhaps will be a day when you will. And you'll know without doubt that the Lord is there and giving you His grace for those particular circumstances. We spend a moment in prayer. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could do it now. He loves you and cares for you. All of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the challenge for us right now is that we be what He wants us to be. that we love Him and live for Him and do His will. For those who hear this message by way of the internet, if you've never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, I would like to encourage you to do that right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll trust Him right now, He will save you. It'll settle things for eternity. Please, please. If I could be you, I'd do it for you, but I cannot be you. I would encourage you to do it now. Whosoever, that means you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, thank you so much today that when you loved the world, and that when you loved, you gave your Son, and your Son was willing to go to the cross and bear our sins and be buried and come forth out of the grave, victorious over death and hell and sin in the grave, and is ready to receive us unto Himself. Help us to be anxious and looking forward to that time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
For those He came to save, His glory.